First, I want to congratulate Dunmore on her resounding victory. You would remember, David, I told you, and I think it was Peter, that I have no intentions to commit to commenting on the St. George North by election until it's finished. It is over now, David. And I told myself that I would listen after this by-election to the cry babies because I want to hear them cry after that resounding victory. And indeed, they cry. So it's my turn now. I am saying to the people of Barbados that Verla de Pisa should take full responsibility for what happened to George, to Floyd River. And the fact that Verla de Pisa could pick no such a person than Anthony Wood and a Sylvan Greenidge, a former member of the Barbados Labour Party who went out disgruntled. And to tell Anthony Wood, who just went and campaigned viciously against the Democratic Labour Party, just a short space of 2 years, and to come and bring him on your platform to the people of St. George North. And at the same time, now you come in a different voice now, want to tell me that two former members of the Democrat Labour Party who just contest the last general election under a Democrat Labour Party banner, they're leaving neither add or subtract from the Democrat Labour Party. I mean, what is Verla de Pisa really saying? And she also said it is not a significant loss to the Democratic Labour Party. I mean, Verla de Pisa is indeed a loser.
Was it a significant loss?
Huh?
Was it a significant loss? And if so, why?
David, I don't know. I understand a significant loss. The fact remains that these are stupid who just contest a general election under the Democratic Labour Party, and now they have seen it fit to defect. But my argument is, she made mileage on a political platform because Annie would leave the Barbados Labour Party and went on their platform during the St. George North by election. And that was a big thing for her.
Honestly, I don't know if it is mileage. There are some people who believe it was an error. I've heard one of the callers here last week say that he is from the constituency. And among people that he spoke to, they thought it was a mistake because the same Anthony Wood had been cursing the Democratic Labour Party in the general election. However,
exactly.
The other point coming out of this, though, is there is that aspect to it, which is the politics associated with Anthony Wood's decision to go on the DLP platform is one thing. The other part of this is what he had to say. Was there any validity? Has there been any response from the government? Is the government of the view that just ignoring Anthony Wood completely will negate the allegations that he's made? Or do they have something else in mind, and as a result, that's why they keep him quiet? But I don't see how you can, the allegations associated with how things were done, and that's what I'm more concerned about, how certain things have been done. Because remember, this administration has spoken in opposition and early in government about the need to do things in a particular way. That also brings me to this point. Leading up to the last elections, there was a group called the Transparency Group. Can't remember the full name of it. But there are a lot of people who are asking questions about where this group is now. And they want to know whether, you know, there is no place for their voice on things that are being said today. That doesn't mean that we are at the point where we were prior to the last elections where so much more was being said. But it is that, you know, there are still things there to be examined. There are still things that demand our attention. And if you don't, if you appear to be so visible and vibrant in one period and dormant in the next, you walk straight into the perception that you have been favoring one over the other. So this group is supposed to remain in a position where we see it as credible and fair, then it can't just go dormant completely in this 2 year period, 2.5 year period. You see?
Now, David, I understand you. But listen, what I saw,
Integrity Group Barbados is what it's called.
Why is her concern? What she's saying now, what world of people saying now, but these two candidates are now defect for the Democrat Labour Party. I should also tell you, that the same Andy, when he had his difference in the war, where that will cause him to defect from the party, as he said, okay? This same Andy, when I read an article, the article was saying, David, that the same Andy Wood, I'm losing my thoughts here, Andy Wood was saying that the same Barbados Labour Party is indeed the best government at this point in time to lead this country.
Yeah, you can't separate one from the next. A man can't say that in his judgment a group is better suited to lead the country, but there are some things that you're concerned about. I don't understand.
But then she embraced him on the Democrat Labour Party platform.
Well, look, let me ask you something. What were George Connolly and Rodney Grant saying what were they saying about the Barbados Labour Party in the last general election? They are now embraced as members of the Barbados Labour Party. Let me say something to you. This is politics. You don't behave as though, you know, this is a Sunday school. Look, people will find good reason why they can cross sides and that sort of thing and rationalize it one way or the next. For every argument that you have on one hand, you can find a countervailing argument. So this is politics.
I know it's politics.
There's nothing more stark about how politics can be so divided and divisive than looking at the situation in the United States, where you have people. I heard last night a discussion among four Catholic women, talking about why two of them voted for Biden and the other two voted for Trump. The issue of abortion was central to their decisions. It's an amazing thing to see how those four Catholics could be so divided on that particular issue. This is politics.
But David, Prime Minister Motley knows it's politics too, because she had the information about these two guys before too, and she's gonna play on the political platform.
Look, let me tell you. Let me say something to you. We passed this in George by election, you know.
Let
me tell you something. Because you decided that you were going to hold off commenting until now, you may find yourself in a situation where there are many people who've had enough of it.
Well, that's their business, but I can do that what you can do it in about four.
So we got to go.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. This person writes that since 2015, the Barbados Light and Power Company came to install a new pole on their church property about 10 feet from the existing one. At that time, Flo was asked to have their cables transferred to the new pole, but they've gotten no response. To date, both poles still exist on the property. This is causing some difficulty for big vehicles to maneuver into the church's driveway. The person says that they also visited Flo in 2018 about the matter, got no response. They sent correspondence in July 2020, and Flo responded on August 13th, saying that they would be provided with a response within 24 hours. To date, November 16th, no response. They want to know what they can do. Flo, you need to react to this particular matter for this person and the other members of the congregation there. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon, David.
Good morning.
Morning, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to make two quick points, and then I want to talk a little bit about the union, because I used to be part of the union in a big way. So my first point I wanted to check on was Barbadians are the ones who are in a majority for the removal of Nelson. Am I right in thinking so?
In the majority?
Yeah.
I don't know that there was any, a lot of people who don't care one way or the next. But I don't, younger people, I would say if younger people may be in the majority among younger people. It doesn't really matter to a lot of people.
Right. Well, that in itself, what I want to say is that if the Barbadians want it removed, then they have it removed. And who don't care, one way or another, so much the better then. The other point, I heard a gentleman speaking to you, and he was articulating that if you work for a company and they dismiss you, meaning the Democrat Labor Party situation, and then you don't owe anybody an apology, but he forget that if you're going back to the company, right, that you have to come back with a better and a new attitude, so there would be a need for apology in terms of your behavior in the past, and they'll be looking forward to you with a new attitude. So on that matter, I'm saying that, you know, the Democratic Labor Party is coming back to the people, and they can't come back with the same behavior patterns or the same people either, because at the end of the day, right, the people are the ones that are electing you and who have to make the choice on what they want. What do you think about that?
I think that the Dems' biggest issue, well, the economic policy that they would want to pursue and how they are going to do that, the kind of economic team that they are presenting to the public matters. Because the Dems ran into trouble not only in 2018 because of the overall difficulties that we had with the economy, but we had a similar situation back in the days with Mr. Sandiford as Prime Minister. And there are those who will go a little further back to the 1974 crisis that we had with the oil crisis and how that impacted on the Democratic Labour Party and its leadership back then. So if you go all back then, what you have is a perception that the DLP talks a good talk about poor people and its commitment to poor people, but its difficulty is in being able to deliver on the economic front in the way that will sustain poor people. That's the point. The BLP, I'll give my views, the BLP tends to handle the economy to a greater degree. It runs up against the Dems' view, or the projection of them as supporting the white elite and the business class in Barbados. And then it has another problem. It tends to get overbearingly arrogant. It treats people in a way that it just turns off people after a while. And therefore, to remain grounded in that regard is the challenge. And to me, I think it is particularly difficult for a party that would have lost office in 2008 with some members of the cabinet then being members of the cabinet now. So it won't take too long to get back there, all right? So how are you going to try to create an environment coming out of being in opposition with rubbing shoulders and close to the people and that sort of thing? But now that you're in government, the real difficulty arises when you start to feel as though the things that you are trying to do for the people, they're not appreciating.
Well, you think that's what's happening
not
in
Barbados? I don't think it's happened yet. I don't think that people are saying that yet. But I'm saying that that is where, traditionally, that's where I think you run into trouble. Now, let me also say this, though. Having said that about the bees and the arrogance factor, it seems to me, I can only give you my own assessment, that the Democratic Labour Party also goes through that to some degree. And in the last administration, it seemed to have acquired it in a deep way. So if you have both an issue with economic policy that appears to be failing, and then you become aloof and start to be angry with people because you don't want to hear what they have to tell you, then you have two problems.
I think the big problem was with them, and I'll finish here that on that one, that their leader allowed the ministers, as I think you attest at some point in time on the program, He allowed the ministers to be seen to be doing what they feel like doing. And like you said, the new leader who's in charge, you have to be able to, when you see things going wrong or you think that it's a need for you to be upfront and to delegate and to be dictating the authority at the point in time, and then you would delegate authority as the need arises. My next point, I want to talk about the unions. You hear me, David?
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay, my thing is that I was affiliated with the union for a while. I actually went from delegate right up to union president in my workplace. And one of the things that I found, right, that caused a lot of problems with workers, right, is that the workers always try to safeguard their job, which you would understand. However, when you are a union delegate and you move into a position where management can manipulate you into offering you, you know, a position where then that your people who you're supposed to be representing now actually feels neglected and they lose that security, then
can they replace you?
No, you see, nobody replaces you. And the thing that happens is that the workers now who are looking to you, because I've seen it happen around me, feel insecure. So they then surrender to the treatment and everything that they're getting because they feel threatened their job. And you will see delegates just holding on to the fact that they would earn a couple extra dollars. They get to be flexible to go out for hours to meetings, sometimes a day, and they get paid for the day. So they're actually just feathering their own nest and enjoying the benefits of being a delegate, but they're not representing the workers.
You are suggesting to me that the workers cannot change the delegate. They can't?
But what happens, they won't change
the delegate.
No, I'm saying that what happens, these people are the union representatives. So what happens is when meeting comes up now for
changes. I know what you're saying.
Right? Mm-hmm. The challenge comes with the workers when these people have, like, you see, like we talk about politics. These people steal their deal with the organization.
Sir, you're missing my point.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing my point. Who appoints them as a delegate?
More union than workers.
The union, you mean at headquarters or something like that?
Yeah.
You're trying to say to me that they have no power, the workers have no power to make representation to headquarters about the kind of leadership that they have on plant.
They get frustrated, but because even as I speak to you, right, I remember being, and I'm not going to go deep, I'm just saying something. I remember being an employee at the Sandy Lane. Let me tell you something. Workers are strange.
No, well, you don't. Look, let's not get into details. Let me say something to you. any astute leader in an organization will try their very best to get the kind of stability that they consider important. And if it means that you are going to look for the weakness in a leader, a union leader, and work on that weakness, because people have different needs. You may need money, you need recognition. That person, sometimes what they do is that they take the leader out of the whole group and put them in management. All right?
Exactly.
So, right. So all of that can happen. But I think I want to look at the broader issue of union leadership in Barbados and the consequences that can go with a failure to respond to workers' needs at a time like this. We have to look at the implications of that and to what extent there is always the possibility that you can usher in a greater degree of instability. However, you have to know your people. There's also the possibility that those who lead, whether there is the government or the employer, can create an environment where people sit down in their little corner and do as they are told and tend to be more responsive to what is demanded of them at that level without keeping noise. If you can achieve that, you have this environment of stability today. What are the implications for tomorrow?
The implications for tomorrow is what's happening now, because what happens is now the workers know when the crisis come and crunch time comes, where they're being unfair or being hard done. When, like you talk about, when they're quietly calling and dismissed, right? And have to go through court procedures and systems for their money and wait 3 and 5 years. I'm saying that these are the times when workers have to come together now and decide, look, union or leader or leader not, we'll represent ourselves and we'll come out and we will stay up outside the business place from morning after morning until we get justice, you know? That's the only way out right now, because...
So you feel it is that the workers are under so much pressure?
Yes, they're more or less feel kind of where they have no body to represent them, where they're between a rock and a hard place.
You're retired now?
No, I'm not retired, but I'm kind of self-employed. See?
So how do you sense this feeling from workers then?
Because before I came out of the industry, because I was privileged to resign, before I came out of the industry, right, I recognized that, you know something? Workers are no longer having any teeth.
How long ago was that?
I live in 2014. I find that, but I see it coming. I find that workers were more or less feeling, you know, I have to take anything. And, excuse me here, David.
Sure.
And even in circumstances where they recognize that injustice was being done to a co-worker, if you stand up, they will tell you, listen, you on your own, brother man, because right now in here, every man for himself.
But that's new to you?
It was more open, though. It was like, okay, slavery has returned. So I was kind of disappointed.
What would you recommend for the labor movement now, therefore, based upon what you've seen?
My recommendation for the labor movement right now is that they're really and truly give the workers excuse me, David, something to work with.
Like what? When you mean something to work with?
Okay, something to work with mean that you let the workers know that you would represent them, right, and their interests as long as it's within the rules and organization of the company, that they are obeying those rules, right, and they are under the labor laws, that you would represent them. So as when you know that a worker is being unfair, right, that you will step in no matter what, and you will say no to the company. You can't do that. This worker won't have to be dismissed, right? and then to be left out there in the cold, calling the union, trying to get somebody, calling a lawyer. Where now they don't even have the resources to do so, and they get so tired and frustrated that they decide, you know something? I can leave it where it is, man. I can just maybe come on the program and talk about it, but at the end of the day, I know the bond really hearing me.
Okay.
So unions have to really and truly decide, listen, man, workers, and to besides, as you talk about, the government is helping a lot of companies, too, that were supposed to give workers employment in these hard times, whether it be 3 days, and then the unemployment benefits would have come in another 2 days. All of that, they have bent back on, you know. Some workers are being trained for 4 hours and sent back home, you know, and they're not getting any money to pay the bills. So I think that the negotiation has to be different where workers can feel as though, you know, something, they're looking after me, you know, they're interested in me.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for your contribution. I got this contribution here where somebody says that they're amazed that some Barbadians are not aware that winning in politics is the only acceptable outcome. And this person says that the Prime Minister of Barbados is a political animal. She's adept at the game. She's a product of her BLP. And then they say, I see so many parallels between the BLP and the Democrats up here in the U.S. The person says that their politics is manipulative, brainwashing, razzmatazz, without substance, etc. They are extremely effective at public relations, says the writer. And in both countries, the media no longer pretend they are fair and balanced, quite useless. In the U.S., they refuse to do any investigation on the elections as they should. Trump is right. Do not concede until all legal votes are counted. So, you see this person drawing these parallels. I mean, I don't know that Barbadians generally, and you don't live here, so you may see stuff that we don't. But I don't know that we see these deep parallels between the two parties, the Democrats in the United States and stuff. And at the end of the day, as you well know, you can see where the trend is going for Trump. So we wait and see what happens on January 20th. And of course, we have to look at the direct and the indirect impact of what is happening in the United States on us here.